This is Near FM
90.3.
Okay, so my next guest now on the line is Jerry Boland, and Jerry is from Animals Behind Closed Doors. We have spoken before, but Jerry's here to chat to me today about, am I right to say, the case for meat or reasons to be a vegan, Jerry?
Yeah, exactly. I just, maybe the reasons why I'm vegan and the reason why other people are vegan and the reason why most people aren't vegan.
Okay, okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, my very brief background in terms of veganism is that for half of my life, Emma, I ate meat. Mm-hmm. I was brought up in a meat-eating family, you know, middle-class Dublin family. I ate meat all through my childhood and my teenage years and my early adult years. And I never even made the connection, as strange as that might seem, that I was eating animals. Like, I kind of knew subconsciously or some kind of way that I was, but because it was always referred to as meat, and because there were no campaigns going on, I never really kind of thought about the fact that I was eating animals, but of course I was. And then over the course of a couple of years, like meeting people who are vegetarian and meeting some animal rights activists and then seeing some documentaries that I would have preferred not to see, to be honest with you, it became obvious to me that, one, I didn't need to eat animals, or you need to eat meat, that was clear. You know, for my own health, that was completely clear that I didn't have to. And secondly, it was abundantly clear to me, because of the kind of person I am, is that I couldn't kill an animal, you know. So, and I also wasn't willing to be complicit in the industry and to kind of, you know, to contract the killing out to somebody else. So I gave it up, and then I eventually became vegan. So that's my story, and I suppose that's the reason I am vegan, and it's the reason I remain vegan. But there are many other reasons why people become vegan. But the reason I became vegan was because of my decision that I wasn't capable of killing an animal. Morally, I didn't feel morally justified in killing an animal. There was no necessity to kill an animal because, you know, those days are long gone. We don't need to be eating animals at all. In fact, we're better off health-wise if we're not. So, and then in terms of the planet, et cetera, et cetera, there are so many reasons now not to eat animals. So that's why I issued a statement which kind of began with the case for meat, and the case for meat is quite compelling. Most people eat meat. We've always eaten meat. We're top of the food chain. We're incredibly intelligent. We're incredibly ingenious. We've managed to control and dominate animals completely. But the kind of farming we were doing 100 years ago is so far removed from what we're doing now of the animals that we eat. Sorry, go on.
No,
ahead.
Sorry. I'd just like to interject there, because obviously, you know, it's my job to challenge and to discuss and kind of to put the questions that would be on the listeners' lips. Isn't it true, though, Jerry, that we have eaten meat? We have been omnivores since we can track us, you know? And, like, I do agree the mass farming is completely unethical, and I think when we spoke before, this is what we did speak about. There's many people who are completely against that and agree with you on that point. But as regards actually completely cutting out animal produce, veganism's only relatively new, say the 40s when this became something kind of popular. So what do you say to those people?
Well, first of all, I would challenge the notion that we are omnivores. Like, we clearly are. But we're not carnivores in the sense that for the vast period of human history, up until we started to farm animals, you know, our diet was made of 99.9% of plants and fruits and leaves. And we caught, you know, primitive man caught animals if they could, and they were usually sick and injured animals, but meat was not a part of their daily diet at all. So we became became omnivores when we learned how to control animals and to catch them. So, like, we're not physiologically, Emma, like, we're not, it's clear that we're not designed to eat animals, because all predatory animals have, you know, fanged teeth.
We have a field
and jump on a lamb and tear it apart. We have to cook it. So that would be one point I would make. And secondly, like humans, we do get into habits. and meat is embedded in our culture in such a way that it's almost impossible to remove it. And I understand that because I ate meat for 30 years.
Mm.
But I also understand that sometimes we have to challenge what seems to be the accepted norm. So I know it's a cliche to mention slavery, etc., but there are many, many practices that were absolutely part of human endeavor and human progress, for instance. So the same arguments were made about slavery. There was, you know, economically, we could not get rid of slavery because it was embedded in our culture. But eventually it's gone, largely gone, of course, not completely gone. So I would say that the animal rights discussion is at a fairly early stage, but it is moving ahead quite quickly because it's moving ahead with in the company of science, because we are now at a stage where we can clearly see that animals are not simply machines, as they, you know, as they were described by Descartes, the philosopher 150 years ago, you know, that they had no feelings. We now know scientifically
they're sentient beings.
And also emotionally, that they are sentient, that they are feeling beings.
Yeah.
And that they have deeply complex emotional and social lives. So
I don't think we can really completely in agreement with that point, but just, is eating meat not the most, say, cost efficient and kind of convenient way of getting all the macro and micronutrients?
No, it's the least efficient.
Mm.
It is absolutely the least efficient.
Okay.
Because we are growing most of the grain that is grown in the world using up vast amounts of agriculture.
Oh, no, I mean for the human body. Like, for somebody who is looking to keep a, you know, a healthy, athletic, strong, and even for some people, sexually competent body, like, eating meat is the most cost efficient and easiest way to get your macro and micronutrients.
Well, I would say the opposite is the case.
Okay.
We know so much about vegan nutrition now. There are many, many top athletes and wrestlers and boxers, etc., who have become vegan and who are doing incredible things. So we get all the nutrients and proteins and minerals, etc., that we need from a, you know, from a well-balanced plant-based diet. What comes with a meat diet are potential problems of heart disease, certain forms of cancer, and type 2 diabetes. This is well established by medical studies right across the Western world. What I would say is that I wouldn't advise people to give up eating meat tomorrow and just start going into supermarkets and buying packaged burgers, etc., because that's just replacing one diet with another and not a very healthy one. So you do have to learn how to cook. I know that. I understand that.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to do. So sorry for interjecting again. There is a lot for people to learn because, as I mentioned before, kind of like I would do some health and wellness coaching and help people. And I'm by no means a nutritionist or a doctor or anything, but just the basics around food. And a lot of people come and they say they're vegetarian or they're vegan, and they're pretty much just eating pasta. So, you know, you need to be very careful when, you know, considering something like this. Like, you've got, like, the kind of question on everybody's lips and the one that everybody thinks most of is like vitamin B12 and your kind of key minerals like iron and stuff like that. And it you know, a vegan diet can leave you quite limited there. Am I right?
Well, no, a poor vegan diet can leave you limited.
Okay.
Just like a poor meat-eating diet can leave you limited. And let's face it, Emma, like, this is a huge discussion for another day, maybe, in relation to how the Western world in particular is fed and the food that we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's pretty appalling, to be honest with you. So, like, a lot of people are very, very unhealthy because they're eating terrible food. And so you can also eat a terrible vegan diet, that's for sure.
That's, yes,
but I would say
point.
That we are what we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid the benefits of eating good, healthy food is so far down, like, the kind of government's list and kind of, you know, just there's very little leadership or vision shown by kind of government bodies in relation to, like, they know the results. They know the statistics about high sugar, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very little is done in relation to educating the public. And so I agree, it's a huge, huge issue in relation to turning people around and giving them the time to, you know, to cook proper food. But I would say that, you know, like, we have lost that to a large extent. We're largely living now in a culture where people are eating on the go, they're shoving the thing into a microwave. And that is why I always come back to the animal suffering part.
Yeah.
Because if you are somebody who has some sensitivity towards animals,
mm-hmm.
and if you do appreciate that you don't want them to suffer, well, then you kind of really have to think very, very hard about whether you want to be eating rashers and sausages, because 99% will come from a factory farm. Because
yeah.
There's practically no organic produce available. So you're eating cruelty, and I'm sorry to say it, but I would defend that in court if I was ever taken to court. You're eating cruelty.
No, that's
lashes and sausages.
That's a fair point. And from, just to take it in a different direction, from like a spiritual aspect, because I know I myself have gotten really into, you know, the relationship between spirituality and food, and maybe even like Muslims, they would only eat halal meat because there's less suffering. What's your kind of what's your thoughts there?
Well, like the Buddhist tradition talks about, you know, compassion towards beings,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stipulate that Buddhists must not eat animals, but like most Buddhists don't, because compassion to all beings is, you know, the compassion to all beings. It's a tricky one, the Muslim thing. I don't really want to get into it, but I'm mm-hmm. definitely against ritual slaughter because,
yeah.
you know, there you have a situation where the animal isn't stunned at all.
Well, I think 85% of the halal meat in the UK is stunned prior. I was just reading an article on that, so they are going towards that. Look, it's a little bit more humane, we could say, but I think, you know, with all the documentaries and stuff that's out, and you're right, it has thankfully become a bigger conversation that the vast majority of the meat that we are consuming and that we're getting is cruelty, and you know, then you're ingesting that suffering as well. But
can I just say something about the
go ahead.
Can I go on ahead.
No, go ahead. Go.
No, I just wanted to say something about the slaughter. I don't want to put your... I'm not going to say anything that will put people off.
Okay.
I just want to mention the fact that slaughter, we talk about humane slaughter. Like, there is no such thing.
Mm.
But no animal wants to die, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no slaughterhouse has been designed which doesn't terrify the life out of the animal because they can smell the blood before they even go in. So there is no such thing as humane slaughter. And you're slaughtering very, very young animals. Mostly we're slaughtering animals when they're kind of nearly babies. Like, as I said, pigs are only 6 months old. But cows typically are slaughtered at 4 or 5 years of age, where they would typically live to 20. So we're bringing animals into the world and we're slaughtering very, very early. And we're bringing them in to lines where there's huge pressure on these slaughterhouses to get through as many animals as possible. And I've seen, well, you wouldn't want to see what I've seen in terms of the video footage of slaughterhouses.
Mm.
It's really shocking. This is why... the cliche of, you know, the white slaughterhouses don't have glass walls, because people wouldn't, you know, pick up a fork and put it into a shop any longer if they did.
Yeah.
But in relation to the spiritual thing, it is true. I would believe very strongly that in the kind of the spiritual aspect of living a compassionate life. It's Emma, I know it's a bit of a cliche and maybe people will think it's a bit corny in the world we're living in, but we all want to live in a compassionate world where
mm-hmm.
we're kind to people and we're kind to animals. I don't think that's an extreme thing to want.
No.
And to articulate it, I think it's important with all the horrible stuff going on. I think it's important to kind of give people a way that, well, actually I can live a more compassionate world, in a more compassionate world, and I can take cruelty out of my diet. And I think, you know, I'm just hoping that when I talk to you and to other people on radio stations, you know, that there's somebody listening at their kitchen table and they're saying, you know what, I think maybe this is the time I will just maybe give up eating animals for good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I completely commend your passion. And definitely having the conversations is going to pique the interest in somebody to go down that road. So I do appreciate the conversation. But again, I'm just giving the other side of it. When we spoke before, Jerry, I'd said to you, I don't know if you remember, but there is a large cohort of people, I dare say the majority, myself included, who are completely against, you know, mass farming and, you know, this kind of cruelty, but also aren't able or willing even to go full vegan. So I know we spoke about it before, but wouldn't it be great to open a conversation about more ethical ways to consume meat and animal produce? Because you said there, you know, that they're terrified before they're killed, and, you know, of course they are, but I'd say a gazelle in, you know, being chased by a lion is the same thing, you know. So there has to be a conversation to omit the cruelty aspect and the mass farming, but also to allow people to still enjoy animal products. Do you know what I mean?
No, I absolutely agree with that. And you know, I, in a sense, I'm an abolitionist in the sense because I'm an animal rights believer.
Yeah,
I'm
of
an
course.
Advocate for animal rights. But I do understand, I'm not a fool, I do understand that people are on a journey, and some people haven't started on that journey, and some people never will, and some people, probably like you and many, many people listening, are on that journey, but they don't know how to take it any further. And I do, I'm absolutely in favour of people eating less meat. I'm in favour of people eating more ethically produced meat. Mm. I won't do it myself, and I can't promote it myself, but I'm absolutely in favour of anything that reduces the suffering and gives people kind of a more ethical way of living their lives. I'm completely in favour of that, because I'm not a fool. We're obviously not going to stop eating meat tomorrow, or probably in the course of my lifetime, or certainly in the course of my lifetime. So anything that reduces the suffering and makes and gives people a chance to kind of, you know, say, at least, well, I'm living more ethically, I'm eating an animal that has had, you know, a life worth living, whatever that means. But we know a life on a factory farm isn't a life worth
no,
living.
No, not at all. I think
I completely agree with you on that, but I'm probably not the person to talk to in relation to that.
I appreciate that. I do.
Completely understand it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. But like, you know, just a statistic I have here, 47% of the population of Ireland are O positive, and there is a theory that that blood type thrives and actually needs high animal protein diets. So there, you know, there is a huge cohort of people, as I said, who aren't willing or able health wise, energy wise, all the rest. So yes, I think alongside your own campaigning and fully appreciate and commend it, that I think that there does need to be that. That's my feeling of it anyway. To catch the grey area in between the who cares, I'll just eat it, to, you know, absolutely veganism. There is a large amount of people in the middle there. But I think you're right in saying that, like, as a whole, as a society, we're pretty much just eating stuff masquerading as food. So healthier diets all round is probably the best way to go about it for now.
I agree with all of that, Emma. Yeah, I agree with all of that.
Brilliant. Okay, well, look, as always, Jerry, thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully speak to you again. And yeah, best of luck with everything.
This is Near FM
90.3. We'll be right back.